Well, if you have your Bibles, if you don't have a Bible and you're still using your phone, I encourage you to get a Bible. I think that's best for that sake that you can take notes. I think that's very important to take notes in your Bible. If anybody wants to see one of the first, really I think it's actually the second Bible I ever have. I have it up in that closet there, and you can read the notes in there. There's notes everywhere. Amen. And whether you ever use the notes or not, that's not the important thing. The important thing is that you take the notes, because they say that you're much more, it's a much more, a greater chance if you take notes that you're going to remember. And we want to remember what we're taught, amen? Not just for our own transformation's sake, but also for the transformation of those that God brings in our path. And He will bring people in your path that need the message that you're being taught. That's why we go over some of these things more than once. And sometimes we go over them many times. Amen. Amen. There's some points that I want to make here. We've been teaching on counterfeit Christianity, counterfeit Christians, counterfeit spirituality. And you know, Jesus, if you just go through His parables once, He made it very clear that in the kingdom of heaven, which is a little bit different sphere than the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is contained within the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is a temporary kingdom, and it goes all the way up to the end of the millennium. And what we're going to see here is there's going to be a separation up until death is put away with, which is not until the end of the thousand-year reign. Then the last enemy to be destroyed is death, because there's still going to be so many people that rebel at the end of the thousand-year reign, even though Christ is reigning as king, that they're like the sand on the seashore, it says, at the end of Revelation. There'll probably be millions of people, even though Christ is reigning, still in their hearts, they didn't really want to follow His ways, and they're just really in their hearts, they were pondering an opportunity to rebel. And Satan provides it when he gets let loose of the bottomless pit or the abyss. And he comes up, and it says he goes to the four corners of the earth to deceive. And it says he deceives so many that like the sand on the seashore. So we shouldn't underestimate the enemy's deception. And as true Christians, we should be in the Word, shouldn't we? Amen. We should have that Word, man. If we don't have a radio, we should buy one. And we should get that playing on CD. We should go buy the Bible on CD. You know, I'm just going to make mention of this. The Lord, you know, it's become so common in our day and age to burn things and to get things from other people. But really, in reality, in God's eyes, it's stealing. We shouldn't even do that. We shouldn't be stealing things. We should pay the rightful owners for the work that they do. And it's something that God brought to my remembrance recently. And a lot of times people give us stuff, and we want to make sure that we're paying the proper people for those things so we don't steal things. Now, if you've been doing this ignorantly, you can repent and move on. But I just want to encourage you to think about that. It's very important to the Lord. He wants us to be absolutely pure. And a lot of things that we consider pure in this day and age are not pure in the eyes of the Lord. And that's why we're going over this, so we can judge ourselves in the light of His Word and make a decision and see where we're walking. A realistic view of where we're really walking. We usually think we're walking up here, don't we? We think we're up here. But God always proves to us time and time and again that we're somewhere down on the lower level. But He wants to get us up there. And if we'll humble ourselves and receive His correction, then we can get to where He needs us to be. Now let's read through this again. Now this again is at the feast. And Jesus, they were all in Jerusalem at the feast. And There's no doubt that His disciples were a little bit besides themselves, because the people were not receiving the message. They were not receiving what Jesus had said, and they were rejecting His truths, even though He was just trying to get them saved. And there's no question in their hearts, the disciples are probably thinking, you know what, Lord, let's move on from here. You said, You taught us, Lord, that if no one receives our message, wipe the dust off our feet, move on, let's go on. They go out to the Mount of Olives and they come back, and on the second day it appears that the people are starting to receive the truth. It looks like revival's beginning to take place. And you know, I'm sure the disciples' attitudes are getting a little better. And we're going to see this here in verse 30. of John chapter 8. It says, even as he spoke, many believed on him. Believed on him. Now, if they believed on him, nowadays in our churches, there's no question that if people came and they prayed the prayer of salvation, they came to church, there's no doubt that the pastor would instantly make them a member. In most of your modern day churches, they would make them a member right off the hat, not even a question asked. And they would start to sit them down and say, now that you believe on Jesus, that's enough, you're saved. And I want you to know that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're seated in heavenly place with Him. You have the name of Jesus. You have all the rights and privileges. All the blessings of God are yours. All you got to do is ask in the name of Jesus. All you got to do to take authority is use the name of Jesus. We teach them these things instantly and make them members of the church. And they would sit out there in the crowd. And before you know it, we'd have a mega church. It would be a massive church. You know, they pop up all over the place nowadays. I've seen many times, I like to use this example because I've seen it time and time again, a Walmart shuts down and a church takes over and it's full overnight. And I think, man, what's going on here, Lord? How do they do that? How do they get full overnight? Well, there's a right and a wrong way to do everything, isn't there? There's man's way and then there's God's way. Now, we'll see how differently Jesus operates than man's church today, because Jesus is a little more wise and a little more discerning, and He only wants true believers, doesn't He? He's not into counterfeit Christianity. So let's see how Jesus judges it. In fact, when Jesus sees someone that's coming to Him and they want to believe, He doesn't make them a member of His church instantly. In fact, He judges them even further by His word just to make sure they're really going to follow Him. If you haven't noticed, when the people came to Jesus and the one man said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. What was Jesus' response to him? He said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. In other words, this is no easy task, my friend. Another man came to him and he came and asked, he said, come on, be my disciple. He said, first let me still go say goodbye to my family. And he said, no, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back, you're not fit for service in the kingdom of God. And after John, the prophet John the Baptist, preached, he said, look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And after they heard this, the second time they heard it, two of his disciples went and followed him. Two of his disciples went to follow him. And when they came to Jesus, he said, what do you want? You see, that's the real Jesus of the Bible. He tests people to see if they really want Him bad enough. But those two disciples did, and they said, Master, where are you staying? Instead of getting scared and running away. Now, Jesus isn't into scaring people away, but what He's doing is testing the heart. He's testing the heart to see where people are really walking. But let me tell you something. The Jesus in the Bible is not the Jesus that most preachers are preaching today. And Paul talked about that. He said, if anyone preaches a gospel other than the one you received, a Jesus other than the one we preach, or you receive a spirit different than the one you received, he said, you put up with it too easy. So there's other teachers out there, and they are preaching Jesus. They are preaching a gospel. They are teaching about the Spirit, but it's not lining up with the book. We have to judge everything in light of the book. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, he says, I applied these things to myself and Cephas and Apollos for the reason that you may learn not to go beyond that which is written. In other words, we're all just messengers, and you're supposed to judge things in light of the Word. And then what Paul went on to say, he said, for this reason, because you're not supposed to go beyond what is written, I'm going to send you Timothy. So he wasn't trying to kick Apollos and Peter out of the church. That wasn't his intention. Because we know if you read in the book of Acts, says Apollos was he was a man thoroughly knowledgeable in the Scriptures. But let me tell you something. Peter and Apollos were bringing the same message as Paul. But things have changed. Things have changed dramatically in the body of Christ. In fact, by the time Jude wrote his letter, he told the church to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints, which means it had been lost. Something had been lost in the church. And then he went on to describe the doctrine of how people that left the Word and left God's ways went to hell. Now, when Peter wrote his second letter, which was later on, in fact, he says he's soon going to put his body aside that the Lord made clear to him, which means it was later on in his years. When Peter wrote it, he also talked about false teachers, and then he talked about how those who leave holiness go to hell. He mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah. He mentioned Noah's day. And he mentioned the angels that left their positions of authority. That's the same thing Jude did. Now, these letters were written later on. And what they were trying to do is say, look, the true doctrine of Christ is repentance from all sin. They were trying to make that point very clear in their short letters so that we could understand the truth of the Bible. Now, Jesus also was a preacher of righteousness. And what I mean by that is not the righteousness that most of them preach today. They'll tell you, yeah, we're the righteousness of God in Christ, which is all true, and it's all very, very extremely important to understand. But what they don't preach from the other end of righteousness is that righteousness means turning from all of your sins once and forever. In other words, you don't practice sin anymore. You used to practice sin, you used to dabble in it, you used to do things you knew you shouldn't do until you seared your conscience and you didn't even know you were doing wrong anymore. He talks about that in Titus 1:15. He said, to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences have become corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny Him. They're detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Now, if someone's detestable, disobedient, and denying Christ, you think they're saved? Absolutely not. You know, so Paul said, I've said before, and even I'll say again, it's here, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. He said their God is their stomach. He said their destiny is destruction, their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Now, we're making mention of these things. I don't want to get too far ahead of this now, but we need to be separate. We need to be completely separate from anything sinful and anything that could even put thoughts into our minds even that would introduce sin into our lives again. We're supposed to be not conforming to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the only way that that's really going to happen is when we're completely separate. But we need to get started here, or we're going to get too much ahead of ourselves. So it says, they believed on Him. Would you agree with me in verse 30? That means that in most people's eyes today, they would be saved, right? You think that they're saved because they believed on Jesus, right? And He said, if you believe on Me, you'd be saved. Now, but let's take a look at this here. Let's read verse 31. And Jesus told those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. Now, this is very interesting that Jesus said this, because look at the way that they answered Him. In verse 33, He said, we are Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves to anyone. Now, when Jesus said, if you continue in My word, that's a big if. If you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed. And if you do that, the truth of My word will make you free. Now, when Jesus said this, He was referring to the fact that they were in bondage, wasn't He? He's saying, look, you got to, in order to really, truly be My disciples. You know, Jesus told His disciples to go into all the world and make disciples. Just like He made them disciples, the same type of disciples. He didn't tell them to make converts. He didn't tell them to pray a prayer with them and tell them they're saved, just a real simple prayer, and then sit in the church and you're saved. He told them to make disciples. He said, just like I made you disciples. Paraphrasing it. Mark 16, Matthew 28, 18. If you combine the two, you can see very clearly that that's what He's talking about. He said, teaching them everything I have commanded you. Everything. Not some of the things, but everything. In other words, us preachers even are supposed to go forth and make disciples that are commanded to do everything that Jesus commanded His disciples. Well, what did He do? He told them to command them to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. He commanded them to live holy lives and be separate from the world. He commanded them all those things we teach. But they don't teach these things behind the pulpits. In modern pulpits, they don't do it for the most part. And we'll get into a little bit of why. Now, so Jesus makes it clear here that He's referring to them being in bondage. Now, if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you three major points tonight. three major ways that you can discern with your great spiritual discernment that we're instilling in your spirit if someone's a counterfeit Christian or not. Number one, counterfeit Christians are blinded by sin, and they are in bondage and don't know it. Counterfeit Christians are blinded by sin and are in bondage and they don't even know it. And they get mad when you try to show them, when you correct them. Notice here, he says, if you continue my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they said, we are not slaves to anyone. We've never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we'll be set free? And Jesus says, look, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. In other words, they were still caught in sin. In fact, their major sin was lust and lying. And Jesus picked up on the lying spirit, a hypocritical spirit that says, we're believers, we believe in you, Jesus, we're coming to you. And Jesus picked up on it and said, look, you're still bound by sin, and you don't know it, and I'm trying to give you my word, which is exposing your sin, and they rejected the word, and they got mad about it, didn't they? In fact, we don't have to go very far, but if you look at the last verse here, it says they picked up stones to stone him. So, in reality, if Jesus would have just left him alone and said, look, you're believers, just keep on following me now. Most likely, they would have went their whole lives and at the end of it been damned by deception. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and we know Jesus doesn't want to leave us that way, does he? He doesn't want us to stay deceived. So Jesus took his word, exposed their sin, and expected them to continue in that word, exposing their sin, that they might be saved. But instead, they got mad about it. And that's what counterfeit Christians do. They're okay. They'll say, yeah, we believe in you. We believe in you, Jesus. Now look at verse 34. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So they were slaves of sin and they could not see that. And what he's saying here is anyone who practices sin, they practice it, they deliberately sin against God, they're a slave to sin. And these people were horrified at this. They were absolutely angry. They got angry and they denied that they were in bondage. Look at verse 33 again. We're Abraham's descendants. We're not slaves to anyone. We're not in sin, Jesus. What are you talking about here? We're not slaves to sin. Now, you know what they're saying is, what do you mean there's sin in my life? What do you mean that I'm not a child of God, Jesus? What are you talking about? What do you mean that I'm taking direction from the devil and not from God, my Father? And that's, if I, as a preacher of righteousness, went in most of your modern day churches today and preached a message, this is exactly what you would see taking place, because they're coddled in their sin. Amen. They're coddled in their sin. You know, it says in Jeremiah, he talked in Jeremiah 6:13, he said, from the least of them to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike, they all practice deceit. They treat my people's wound as if it were not serious. So these guys are up there preaching. They're not, they act like the people are just going to leave their sin. But let me tell you something. I used to be a sheep. Pastor Dan used to be sitting in your chair. And Pastor Dan is also backslidden multiple times in his younger years. Did you know that? I know the tactics. I know the things that you think that you're getting away with. I know what people think they're getting away with. Because I used to think I was getting away with it. Until I found out what God's word said, amen? Amen. And God's word doesn't agree with us dabbling around in sin. So they're saying, what do you mean there's sin in my life? What do you mean I'm not a child of God? And that's what most people would say if I got up and said, look, you guys got to stop all your sin, or you're not a true believer, you're a counterfeit believer. Most of them will get so mad. In fact, if I was a guest speaker in many of those churches, they would kick me out of the church. They may not stone me in the United States, but they kick me out and tell me to never even come back. Amen? Now, but we know that's not what Jesus would want. That means they're counterfeit. So they're taking direction from the devil. They're completely in bondage. And look, they're saying to Jesus, they're saying, look, Jesus, we believe on you. Jesus told Nicodemus that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall be saved. Isn't that what you said, Jesus? And didn't you say the next verse, verse 17 of John chapter 3, that he that believeth on him is not condemned? He that believe, we believe on you, Jesus. You promised us in your word. You told Nicodemus, who's one of us, that if we believe on you, we're saved. If we believe on you, we're not condemned. But here's the problem. You know, they say, we're your righteousness, Jesus. We're believed that we're your righteousness. We're not condemned. We're one of you now. But Jesus said, you didn't quote me right. Let me read something to you also that he said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And verse 19, if you're taking notes, this is a key verse to exposing people's darkness. He also told Nicodemus this. This is a verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Now what Jesus is saying here is, I'm the light. I am that light. I'm the light that came into the world. And if you're going to come to me and truly believe on me, you need to allow me to expose everything. What does light do? Exposes darkness. Does it exposes what was once hidden in darkness. And Jesus says, I'm that light. You need to let me expose everything in your life and to change all those things that are dark in your life. You have to let all of my word work in you. All of it. Not just what you are comfortable with. You know, some people are comfortable with getting rid of the smoking they don't like to do. But if you say, we want you to get rid of that lying also. They say, Jesus, don't ask me to open that door. Don't expose that darkness. I'm not ready to let go of that. But Jesus, you can't have any kind of relationship with Jesus if you're not willing to acknowledge that sin is sin and let him to expose it, first of all, and get it out of your life. Let him work in you and say, you're right, God. I'm a mess over here. You exposed it with your word. I got to let you, I want to be a disciple. I got to continue in your word. And your word says I got to stop lying and stealing and lusting after women and men. I got to quit looking at them that way. I got to quit doing these things. You're right. I acknowledge your word. I want to be your disciple. So let it work in me. I got to change. Help me, Lord. That's what a disciple does, a disciplined follower. A counterfeit Christian, they try to sweep it under the carpet as if it doesn't exist and just sit out there and think they're getting away with it. But let me tell you something. God's word exposes all things, and he says the word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. That's judgment. Now, that's Hebrews 4:12. So if we will allow God's to work in us and expose that and judge our attitudes and judge our heart and divide between our soul and spirit and our joints and marrow, which is your flesh. If we'll allow him to work, then we can continue in him as his disciple and say, yeah, you're right, Lord. I need to get this out of my life right away. Help me. And then we fast and we pray. We read the word and we let him work in us. Otherwise, what you're going to do is you're going to let it go over your head. And what James said about in James 1:22, he said, be ye doers of the word, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And that's what these disciples were. They were in bondage. They were blinded by their sin. They were blinded by the devil. And they couldn't even see it because they weren't doers of the word. They weren't willing to let the word work in them and expose their darkness and change their lives. Would you agree with me? Now, let's take a look here. He said, unless you let all my word work in you, you can't be my disciple. You can't say that you believe in me. And most people today will fight that. They'll say, I believe in Jesus, when they're not willing to let go of their sin. And at the end of their life, if they don't stop, they will go to hell. They're going to be damned by a deception of the devil who sat over their shoulder and tried to convince them that it was okay when the preacher every single week, God will take you and sit you at the judgment and show you every message you ever heard, every word you ever read in the book that said you couldn't do it, but you weren't willing to continue in the word. The word is the factor that shows us if we're truly born again or if we're not. Amen. Now, we need to let His Word work in us, don't we? So according to Jesus, no one is a true believer until you let God's Word work in you. Until it has first place in your heart, not your head, in your heart. Until the Word is a terror to you. Until the Word is a hope to you. Until you're committed to fully obey every word, not just what you want, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, every word in your Bible. Until the Word exposes and breaks all traditions, all sin, and all false doctrine, until you are willing to allow it to do that, you're not truly His disciple. Now let's take a look at verse 40. We'll go back over to John chapter 8, verse 40. Now, everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Aren't we glad we can let the Word work in us? Amen. Amen. Verse 40, as it is, Jesus says, you are determined to kill me. To kill me. So these people that they claim to be believers, we believe in you, Jesus. What do you mean we're slaves of sin? Jesus says, no, no, you're trying to kill me. You're trying to kill me. Now you may think in your head, well, we don't do that today, Pastor Dan. We're not trying to kill him. Yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. Jesus said, you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Now, we do kill Jesus. We do try to kill him. And how we do it is because he's the Word. Is he not the Word? John 1 and 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. And when you won't accept the Word and you drive it out, you're crucifying Jesus. Wow, Pastor Dan. I am not crucifying. Yes, we do. That's what we do. When we won't allow, when we say I'm not going to listen to that word, we're killing off the Word, which is Jesus. He literally is the Word of God. That's what it says in John 1 and 1. Now we need to take the Bible literal, whatever it is possible, and that's who He is. He's a mighty Logos. He is whatever the Bible says, that's what He is. He's immutable. He cannot change, nor can He be changed. Now, we don't want to crucify Jesus. We don't want to kill off Jesus. So we just want to, what we want to do is be His disciple and let the Word work in us. Say, yes, I'm full of darkness. My goodness, Jesus, help me get it out. What can I do to get it out? He's going to say, listen to Pastor Dan. Fast, pray in tongues. Pray in tongues an hour or more. If you can, 8 hours a day. Read the Word. Read 10 chapters every day and let my Word work in you and I'll get all that darkness out of you because I'm the light. I'm the Word. And the Word exposes the darkness. And we're going to get that out of you, little disciple, because you're willing to acknowledge that sin is sin instead of trying to sweep it under the carpet. And because you're willing to acknowledge that sin is sin, you can be my disciple. As long as you do what's necessary to put that sin to death, I'm going to walk with you. But as soon as you say that this is okay, I can't walk with you anymore. You can't be my disciple. Because you can't. He said this. This is the message you heard from Him and declare to you, God is light. In Him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. 1 John 1:5. 1 John 2:4 says, a man who says, I live in him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. And that's what they were. Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. The father lies. You're a liar. You're not continuing my word. You're not walking in my light. You're not letting my light expose your darkness. Now, I am fully convinced of this. And if you judge things in light of God's word, you will be too, that a great majority of those in the modern church of God, the modern church of claiming Christ today, who claim to believe in Jesus, have never truly been saved. They're not truly saved. I would say in your modern church today, there's probably a great majority of them that are not truly saved. Did you hear the words I said? I'm telling you the truth. The majority of claiming Christians today that go to church, if you took a survey on everybody that claims to be a Christian in the United States, I would tell you that the majority of them have probably never truly actually been saved. And I can tell you why, because they've never left their life of sin. They're not willing to let go of all of it. Now, they've never been touched by the conviction of the Word. They're still slaves to their old ways and their old habits, their old bad habits. And they hang on to their old worldly friends. Uh-oh. They hang on to things of this world. Uh-oh. We're going to get into this. It's going to hurt now. They hang on to their old worldly friends and their worldly habits. They're living a lie. There's no change. They can't see that they're bound. And they're going to be cast out, according to God's word, they're going to be cast out as unprofitable servants. They're going to go to hell damned by deception. I hope you heard me. We don't want to be deceived, do we? Let me ask you something. Did he not say they'd be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves? Did he not say that we should, on 2 Corinthians 2:11, he said that we should not be unaware of Satan's schemes. We should not be unaware of them. Jesus told us to be wise as serpents. The only way you're going to be wiser than the devil who knows the word, didn't he quote it at Jesus? Didn't he twist God's word in the Garden of Eden? In order to be smarter than Satan, we need to be in the word. And 3 chapters a week is not going to do it. In fact, I would say 3 chapters a day is probably not enough to really grow at a strong level. I would push it up towards the 10 mark. Now, if you're not willing to do that, well, do it where you're at. But I'm telling you what's necessary to have enough word in you to stay strong enough to live for God in this wicked, corrupt generation. Now, they're going to be damned by deception. The majority of them trusting in some false doctrine of security, which says you're the righteousness of God in Christ, you're okay, you're okay. Well, you're the righteousness of God in Christ and you're okay if you're letting the Word work in you and expose darkness and you're judging everything in you in light of the Word and saying, yeah, this is darkness, I got to get it out of my life, and you put it to death right away. Amen. So many in the church are deceived. A lot of people in the church today are deceived, but if you go take this same message, and let me show you something that's going to be very interesting to you. If you take the same message to a junkie, someone out on the street that's out there and they're a junkie, and you tell them, look, you're a sinner. If you don't stop this sin, you're going to go to hell. They'll say, I know it. I know it. But I'm not willing to stop sinning. I run into some real hard time sinners, and they say, I know it. They'll say they're going to hell. They admit it. But if you take the same message to a Christian, a claiming Christian, and say, look, if you don't stop that sin, you're going to go to hell. They say, okay. And then they leave the church and they go do it over and over because the devil's over the show and say, nah, you're not going to really go to hell. Which means that some people in the church are more deceived than the junkie. You don't believe me? Go witness to some people. You go bring this truth to some people who claim Christians and say, we're okay. Nah, my pastor says it's okay. I know, but God knows my heart. God knows me. But the Bible says God's no respecter of persons. The Bible says that in Romans 2:11. It also says in Colossians 3:25 that anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there's no favoritism. You're not special. We're all special as Christians, but you're not some special case that he's going to overlook. You understand that? You got to understand that. But us who've turned from sin, we're God's special children, aren't we? Amen. You just think you're better than everybody else. No, no, no. I'm trying to tell you the truth, just like Jesus was. And they said the same. They got mad at him. We'll get into that too. Now, let me give you a couple examples again. I mentioned this before. You know, one pastor told this story of a concert-type pianist, a professional pianist, a woman. And she was very good at the piano. And she took her music into the nightclubs, into a club, and she wanted the pastor's approval of it. And she said, look, God gave me this ability, and God opened up this door for me to bring this talent that God gave me into a dark place. And God did this, she said. He said, no. And she said, yeah, I know there's a drinking, cursing crowd, but this is okay. Because God gave me the talent and he wants me to use that talent to help these people. No, 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 no. That is not how it works. The Bible says that Jesus said this, if you just read in John chapter 10, Jesus said, he said, I call my own sheep by name. He said, I go before my sheep and they follow me. I go before my sheep and they follow me. Now let me ask you a question. Did Jesus go before you in that nightclub and you follow him there? No, he does not, because he told us not to sit in the seat of the scornful or stand in the seat of mockers, which is where she was taking her talents that God gave her, and she's trying to use that as a means, a clause that she can go do it in front of the unbeliever that way. But that's not how God works. She should have been doing it in front of the church and bringing the unbeliever to the church so they can get saved. We're supposed to be separate from the world. Now, there's another example I'll give you of a young actor. And This young actor is part of the claiming church, and she's trying to be part of the church. And she's also in a off-color movie piece. And she says, well, I'm part of this thing, but that's not the real me. You know, that's not the real me. So she tried to separate her acting piece from who she was. But it doesn't work that way because she's representing that thing by doing it, by acting that play out. It's an off-color piece. You can't do that and say, well, that's not me. You can't separate your sin from any action that's coming out of your physical body. And that's what a lot of people try to do today. It doesn't work that way. You know? Now, counterfeit spirituality, there's no separation from the world. And both those examples I gave you, they're not truly separate from the world. They're trying to take themselves out into the world and be part of it. There's no heartbreak over sin. Jesus said, you say you're my disciples, but my word doesn't have any meaning to you. You don't do what I say. We've got to do what he says. Amen. Malachi 1:7 says, if I'm a father to you, where's my honor? If I'm a master to you, where is my fear? We need to fear and honor God by separating ourselves from the world. There's so many young people in the church today, they're so addicted to their hip-hop music, they're so addicted to their rap music, they're so addicted to their heavy metal, and even country music today is perverted. They're so addicted to this stuff that it doesn't matter if Jesus himself came in the flesh. It wouldn't matter if an angel of God came down. No matter how many times you tell them that it's not of God, it is of the devil, music was meant for worship, they will not listen to you. They're so addicted to it. What is that attraction? They don't see Jesus as an emancipator from sin. They see Jesus as an enhancer to their career and an enhancer to their life. Amen. You know, a lot of the, you know, these bands, I've seen them. We went in a church and they asked us to be, Michelle and I, they asked us to be door greeters at this particular concert. And we didn't really know much it was about. We just volunteered to do it. But the band that they had, they claimed to be Christians and they used some Jesus words, but really it was just a heavy metal band in the church. In the foyer, in God's house, they're spinning around, their hair's up to here, they look like the world, they smell like the world, everything on that tree tastes like the world, but yet the shepherds are blind, they're letting them into their churches, and as a result, the people in the church go to this concert and they think that stuff's okay, but it's not okay. It is not okay. Music is meant for worship and worship alone. That's it. You know? So now, you know, a lot of these people, they come into the church, they're second and third rate to begin with, and they couldn't make it in the secular world, so they add Jesus to their message as an enhancer to their career, and they come into the church, and they find the little sheep who are, they're under a blind shepherd to begin with, and they can't see the difference between sin and the world, they're not truly mature in the things of the Word, as their pastor's not exposing sin, so now they come and bring this mess into the church. It's not okay. It is not okay. You know, I've seen one popular actor, and I used this example before, and I don't really want to get into names here, but he's a very popular actor from the 80s, and he's been in very popular movie, and, you know, I flipping through the TV one day, and I found him on the Christian TV channel, and he's talking how Jesus is the only way, and he's saying some good things, and just a couple years ago, I went to someone's house. After this had happened, after he's preaching behind the pulpit, I went to someone's house, and out of the corner of my eye, they happened to have a TV on with this same man in a popular rap artist video today on MTV. Out of the corner of my eye, I seen him serving alcohol at a bar in a music video. Now, how can my Bible says? He says we're not supposed to drink out of the same cup as demons. We're not supposed to partake of the table of demons and the table of the Lord. That's what my Bible says. He says come out from them and be separate. How in the world can you have the same two things working in the same vessel? You're serving the devil's gospel, which is all that garbage on a music video, and you're serving the gospel behind the pulpit. I can assure you the two things don't work in the same vessel. That person's deceived. Now, So let's just sum this part up. Jesus said, I'm not going to have anything to do with this kind of half-hearted spirituality. It's of the devil. They were bound by sin, and they would not receive correction. That's the first point we want to make there. Amen. Number two, counterfeit Christians won't even believe Jesus when he called them fornicators and idolaters. He called them fornicators and idolaters there in John 8. They wouldn't even believe him. They said, we're not bound by sin. We're not full of lust, Jesus. We're not of the devil. Our Father's God himself. They wouldn't even believe Jesus himself. But Jesus says, what you're doing is of the devil. All these deeds that you think are approved by God are deeds of the flesh. Let's read verse 41. He says, you're doing the things your father does, the things of the devil. We're not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. So they believe they're a God, and Jesus himself is right there telling them that you're full of lust, you're of the devil, you're lying. He said, we're not doing nothing wrong. We're not evil. We love God, Jesus. We're of God. There's nothing wrong with how I'm living. What do you mean we're not of God? What do you mean we're not in bondage to any man, and we're not going to be in bondage to you either? He got mad about it. You're not going to put a guilt trip on us? Isn't that what they say? You try to expose their sin and tell them you have to get rid of all sin. They say, don't judge. Don't judge. We're going to get into that a little bit too. When my Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knows, 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. The Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. He says right here, now, Jesus makes this very clear. Let me read you something in your Bible, and it means just what it says now. I'm going to read this to you. If you want to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Jesus is making it very clear that they were of the devil. He told them that they were bound by sin. Their sin was lust. They did not want to acknowledge that their sin was lust. They did not want to acknowledge what he said. And they said, no, we're children of God. What do you mean we're bound by sin? We are not slaves to sin. What are you talking about, Jesus? And Jesus says, look, in order to be my disciples, you've got to continue in my word. That means all of it. We've got to let the word work in us. We've got to let the word expose all of our darkness, all of it. And we've got to turn from sin. And he says, they said, no, we're not bound by the devil. Nope. Not us, Jesus. He says right here in 2 Corinthians 6:14, this is, if they said that to Jesus, he'd say this right here to them. Because this is God's word and Jesus is the word. 2 Corinthians 6:14, he'd say, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. What do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Now you know that answer is nothing. Nothing whatsoever. There's no fellowship. Because he said that in 1 John chapter 1. He said, this is a message we heard from him, Jesus. So Jesus spoke the same thing, the same message. There's no harmony. He said that God is light, in him there's no darkness at all, none. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, that means live in sin. Do you agree sin is darkness? It's surely not light, is it? Can you say that sin is light? So if you walk in sin, it says if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. What Jesus said, his word is truth and his word would set us free. In other words, you're still bound. If you're walking in any kind of sin whatsoever, you're practicing any kind of sin, you're bound, you're not truly saved. You may be calling yourself a Christian, but you're really a counterfeit Christian. And his word has to work in us. We have to let it expose it. Amen? Amen. So now he says here that we can't be yoked together with unbelievers. And he says here, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? We are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God and they'll be my people. Now, if God, you know, my Bible says that God can't even look upon sin. Did you know it says that? He can't even look upon sin. So let me ask you a question. If God can't even look upon sin, can't even look upon it, and you claim to be a Christian, you claim to be the temple of God, and you're still living in sin, do you think God's living in you? No. He cannot. That's what the Bible says. We don't have to believe it. If we want to be saved, we have to believe it, though. But that's what the Bible says, and Jesus said, if you continue my word, you're my disciples. Not if you continue in what you believe, but what my word says. He says this, come out from them and be separate. Separate from the world. Separate from all sin, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. So in other words, if you'll separate yourself from the world, at that moment, when you make that choice to separate from completely from the world, then I will become your father. I'll be a father to you then, and you'll be my sons and daughters. In other words, that's when you're truly born again. And he says this in verse 1 of chapter 7, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence or the fear of the Lord. The literal translation is fear of God. Now, so if we fear God, Jesus said, don't fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. I'll tell you who you should fear. Fear him who after killing of the body has the power to throw your soul into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 on through, he says that the reason that their mouths practice deceit. The reason they do these things is because there's no fear of God before their eyes. They don't really fear God. They don't fear that hell is the judgment for people who practice these things. They don't really believe. They don't actually believe. Because if we believe, we do what the Word says. Now I'm going to tell you something here. Their sin, if you look at verse 43, if you're in John 8 yet, I'm going to get through this now. If you look in verse 43, he says this, why is my language not clear to you? You're not able to hear what? You cannot hear my word, it says in the King James Version. In other words, you're not listening to me. You're not really letting the word that I'm speaking. You're trying to tell me you're not bound. I'm Jesus, the head of the church. I'm right here in front of you. I'm giving you my word. I'm telling you you're of the devil. I'm telling you your sin is lust. Look at verse 44. I'll prove it to you. Their sin was lust. He says in verse 44, you belong to your father the devil and you want to carry out your father's desire. The King James Version uses the correct wording. It says you want to carry out your father's lust. Lust. So they had sin in their life. They had lust in their life. And Jesus said, you're not hearing my word. My word is telling you that you're in sin, and you're telling me you're of God, and I'm telling you you're of the devil. You need further proof? 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. He says, do not be deceived. He keeps telling you, don't be deceived. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. Amen. Oh, Pastor Dan, it can't. No, it really means that. I'm telling you, I'm trying to save your soul here. I'm trying to tell you what the Bible says. And I am telling you that if you don't believe this stuff, if you don't believe what I'm preaching you, if you don't believe what it's plainly written right in your Bible, if you go on living in deliberate sin and practice sin, you are going to go to hell believing in some kind of false security that the devil taught you, that the devil tried to tell you you're okay. I'm telling you, you're going to go to hell damned by deception. You're not going to get out of that place. It's real. It's a real place. People don't make this stuff up. So they're bound by lust. They wouldn't hear his word that was telling them they're in sin. They said, we're not slaves to sin, Jesus. We're okay. We're children of God. We're children of Abraham. In fact, they got so mad at him when he exposed their sin that they turned the tables and they said, are we not right in saying that you're a Samaritan and you're of the devil? You're demon-possessed? So instead of letting God's word expose their sin and repenting of it, instead they got mad and said, no, you're not going to judge me. You're not going to make me feel guilty of my sin. You're of the devil. And that's what many people do today. They get mad at the preacher when he's just telling God's message. Now, I'm going to read you a letter from a man that he wrote to another pastor. He said these words. He says, I'm a hypocrite. I'm just acting. I'm one whom the Lord denounces. I'm sure that I'm saved, and this is what he believed, but I also think that I'm playing games with God. You see, I'm overcome with the sin that so easily besets me, the sin of pornography and sexual fantasy and lust. The two worst places that I can be alone is in a hotel, is in London and New York. I have never physically compromised my wedding vows, but my filthy mind has many times. I know many, many Christian men included suffer from this sin, but they lack the desire and the ability to do anything about it. They didn't care to do anything about it. I have the desire, and the desire is sometimes strong, like right now, and the desire is sometimes weak, like an hour before the R-rated movies come on television. Before these abominations are due to go on at 10 o'clock to be shown, I try to fight it, knowing I'm going to lose. It really is so hellish. I guess it must be like drugs. I've wondered about diving out of an open window at times, but what would that accomplish? The enemy would just score points. I want to fight this thing. Even I want to be delivered. My problem is I'm not sure if it's an outside influence against me or just the deceitfulness of my own wicked heart. Now, this man is acknowledging that it's wrong. There may be some hope for him. He's fighting, he's raging against the lust inside. He wrote this pastor to another pastor, or he wrote this letter to another pastor saying, look, he's crying out for help. He's humble enough to swallow his pride and say, look, I'm going to go to hell here. And it says right here, you know, he wants counsel. He wants to see what the Word says. And he also asked this pastor, he said, I would like to meet with you and I'd like you to show me what the Word says and try to help me. That's what he told him. He's acknowledging that he's caught up in this damnable thing that's going to take him to hell. He even wanted to kill himself over it, but he just knows that's not even going to help him. Now, this is going to hurt here. Everybody say, praise God. Praise God. Everybody say, I love you, Pastor Dan. I love you too. That's why I'm telling you the truth. Now, TV, movies, magazines, music. TV, movies, magazines, music that are secular, they're not Christian. Who told you? I told you it's going to hurt. But I love you. Who told you that it's okay to sit for hours drinking in that filth? Who told you that? Who told you it's okay to sit in front of the television drinking in that filth hour after hour? Who told you that it's not idolatry? Who told you that? Who told you it's not idolatry to sit in front of the TV and watch something that's so totally corrupted? It's right out of the pits of hell. I would say 99% of what's on TV, it's all of the devil. All of it. In fact, the TV Christian stations I've seen, I don't watch it, most of the stuff that's on the Christian stations is of the devil. Pastor Dan, you've gone overboard. No, no. This is coming from the heart of God right now. He's trying to save you. Who told you that this stuff on TV is not corrupt? Who told you that it's not an idol? Was it Jesus who told you that? Was it? Did Jesus tell you it's okay to watch that stuff? If you're his disciple, if Jesus is right here right now, you'd be sitting at his feet. You'd be with him up there on the Mount of Olives. You'd be with him 24 hours a day. Do you think one of the apostles would have sat down and said, hold on, Jesus, I got to watch this TV program instead of pray and fast when people are going to hell? When everybody's rejecting your word. We got to do this thing over here now. When God says in Psalm 101, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't even sit with them people. When God says in Psalm 101:3, I will set no evil thing before my eyes. No evil thing before my eyes. Nothing. I won't even look at it. He said David had the heart of God. Deuteronomy 7:26 says, bring no abomination into your house, lest you become a cursed thing like it. That's what it says. bring no abomination into your house. And you set that TV up, and it's the devil knows his job is real easy in this last generation. He just tells you, turn on this, just watch that. And you're just pouring a whole bunch of abominations all over your heart that belongs to God. You're not your own. You're bought at a price. And you're trying to, you think you're okay? Who told you that's okay? Pastor Dan didn't tell you that's okay. Jesus said, Holy Spirit didn't tell you that's okay. No. Now you claim to be a believer, you're doing that? Did the Holy Ghost tell you that it's okay for you to go and have to listen to that worldly music? Did the Holy Ghost tell you that it's okay to listen to it? Did the Holy Ghost tell you that it's okay to watch those R-rated movies that are full of violence? Almost all of it is violence and killing. It's all the devil's trying to program you. You wonder why you fight with people. You wonder why you can't. You're so full of pride. You want to kill everybody around. You get so angry. It's because of the violence you watch on television. Live in a house full of strife. Now, and then, you know, after you pump all that filth into your garbage, you think it's okay to come to the house of the Lord and sit down and stand up and raise up your hands and worship God? After you just got disobeying God, you think that's okay? Call yourself Jesus' disciple doing that? Who told you that it's okay to fill your spirit up with violence and sin and then come into the house of the Lord? With your spirit just pumped full of the world. Who told you that? Is it the devil? Let me ask you this. Is it the devil who's going to tell you to tear that away from your life? You think the devil's up here telling you to stop watching that? Is that you think I am? You think I'm the devil? You think it's the devil that's going to tell you to get rid of that idolatry? Where it's so much of an attraction in your life that you got to listen to that stuff and you just can't let it go? It's idolatry. It's a god to you. Is it the enemy, the devil, saying to get away from iniquity? Is that who it is up here preaching at you every week, telling you to get this stuff out of your life? Is it the devil? You think it would be devil or the God? Judge for yourself. Is it the devil who breaks my heart over sin? Who breaks my heart over having to preach this message over and over? He just won't let me get away from it because Christians today don't want to listen. Is it the devil who breaks my heart over this type of situation? And over all the sin that's going on in the church and all the deception that's going on in the claiming modern church today, you think it's the devil that breaks my heart over it? Caused me to weep and cry. Is that who it is? All right then. If it's God, then we have a dilemma here. If it's God, you're going to have to make a choice right now. You got to make a choice. It's time to make a choice. If it's not the devil and it's God telling you, you have to get this out of your life. If it's God telling you, it's His word means what it says, just like your word means what it says, then you are in a dilemma right now. You have to make a choice. Got to make a choice right now. There's no time to put it off. You have to make a choice. You cannot say Pastor Dan is legalistic. You cannot say I'm sick and tired of hearing this. Pastor Dan will not stop preaching this. It's not me. You can't say I'm sick and tired of hearing this. You have to make a choice to become a true believer or stay a counterfeit believer. It's up to you. You want to be damned by deception? No, you don't. Well, I'm giving you the truth. I'm giving you the wisdom of God so that you can have the necessary equipment to overcome Satan's tactics and his deception. He's very, very subtle, it says. 2 Corinthians 11:3 talks about Satan's subtlety. That means he's very, very hard to detect. And the choice has to be made right now because it's getting worse, isn't it? Getting worse. The deception's getting worse. And if you can't tear it away, if that TV, that secular music, that worldly thing has so much of a hold on you, if that lust gets any more hold on your heart, it'll be too late. It's going to be too late. Because the rapture is going to happen. It'll be too late. No angel, no man of God, Not even Jesus himself will be able to convince you. Because let me tell you something. When you stand before God at the judgment, if you won't listen to the words that I'm bringing you by the Holy Spirit right now, he's going to say, why didn't you listen to me? It's not going to be, why didn't you listen to Pastor Dan? It's not. Because when Paul was the Apostle Paul, before he became the apostle, when he was Saul, when he was persecuting the church, he said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Why do you persecute me? It's not me. In fact, Jesus himself said, he said, if they listen to me, he said, listen to you. He said, listen to you also. He said, if they rejected my teaching, they reject yours also. In other words, it's you're my ambassador. Whatever you say goes. If they won't listen to you, it don't matter. It's not you they're rejecting. That's what he says in Ezekiel 33. He talks about that in Isaiah chapter, the first couple chapters of Isaiah. He makes it very clear. He says, go forth. He says, the people are going to be hard-headed. They're not going to listen to you, but don't worry about it. You just bring my message. Amen? Amen. We're just going to bring the message. Now, let me tell you something here.